Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. This is part 12 in our study of this chapter, and we'll try to finish it up today. But it starts out in verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Skipping to verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, "And as you go, preach." But skipping to verse 16 through 18, which is part of our text today, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to their councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." And that's what I want to begin focusing on again. I want to visit this again, talking about the Gentiles. But Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm eternally grateful that you called me to preach the gospel. First, that I'm saved. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you delivered me from the lifestyle that I was in and the destination, the path that I was on. Thank you. And again, to preach your word is gravy. It's icing on the cake. Thank you. Thank you that somehow you counted me worthy, which I don't think I am, to be a preacher of righteousness. Lord, help me to preach your word, which I know to be true, which I know to be the answer for all of the problems that we face. And it's the only way to heaven, by believing the word and what it says about Christ and the wonderful sacrifice that he made. I know that this way is the only way. It's the right way. And I'm glad to be able to preach it. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we went over these scriptures last week, but I want to take another look at the Gentiles. We've established that Christ is the King of the Jews, that he wasn't sent to anyone except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when he sent his 12 and then again his 70 out, "Go preach," he said, "but stay away from the Gentiles, and don't even go to those Samaritans, just don't go." But then he also said in the middle of his charge, he said, "You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, and for a testimony to the Gentiles." Again, he's king of the Jews. He says, look, don't go to those Gentiles, but oh, by the way, as time progresses, as your ministry, not just as I send you out for these few weeks, but for the rest of your life, as you serve me, go and win the Gentiles. There was always the thought in God's mind of the Gentiles. Again, what's a Gentile? A Gentile is someone that is not Jewish, not an Israelite. The Old Testament was written to the Jews, for the Jews, and about the Jews. But everyone else, all the other nations, all the other peoples of the world, they're Gentiles. But there was always the thought in God's mind that the Gentiles needed the gospel preached to them. And obviously, today we have our churches, and there may be a Jew here or there, but for the most part, our churches are filled with non-Jews or Gentiles. So much so, and for so long, that that's our viewpoint, we forget about the Jews. But again, Jesus is the King of the Jews, and I'm just glad he didn't forget about us. But in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 through 49, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger or Gentile eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, after you have circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house it shall be eaten, and another place you'll read that it's a lamb for a house. One house, you need one lamb. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught or any of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And we know that the Passover is a picture, a type, a foreshadowing of Calvary. We know that they came to the one thief on the left and broke his legs, so that he didn't have strength to push up to get another breath, and in just a few minutes he died. Then they went to the one on the other side and did the same. But when they came to Jesus on the cross in the middle, they found he was already dead. Oh, they took a spear and shoved it up into his side just to make sure. But in Isaiah it says, not a bone of him shall be broken. Again, the Passover is the greatest type and foreshadowing symbol that the Old Testament has of what Jesus did for us. But it says in verse 47, again, Exodus 12, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it, keep the Passover. And when a stranger shall sojourn or spend time with you, and will keep the Passover, or wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. Paul said that we were grafted in to that olive tree. As we come to Christ and believe on his name, we're brought into the kingdom of Israel. Again, our view today is that Jesus died for sinners, and that's true. But again, we forget about the Jews. But as I said earlier, and as I've said many times before, God's vantage point is that he chose Abraham out of all the people of the earth. And he chose Jerusalem to put his temple and his name. He's the God of Israel, and Jesus is her King. But as we come to the Lord, we're grafted in. We're adopted as sons. But it says in verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. There was always a seat reserved, as it were, around the Passover table for the Gentile that wanted to come near, wanted to serve God. He had to be circumcised. In other words, in type and in symbol, he had to be born again. And Jeremiah's stony heart, that he'll take out our stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. As Christians, we're not circumcised in the flesh, but in our heart. We're cut in our heart. And that's another sermon for another day. Maybe I can spend time talking about that. But my point is, God always cared about the Gentiles. Even from the beginning, God was concerned about the Gentiles that were not a people, were not even a tribe, not even a people. But God graciously made a way that we could be saved. And I'm ever thankful for that. Isaiah chapter 42, read the first four verses. Behold my servant, and again it's talking about Christ, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The isles of the sea, which includes us here in the Americas. The isles shall wait for his law. Again, it was God's heartbeat, the beat of his heart, the cry of his heart, that Gentiles have a chance to be saved. And again, I'm so thankful that he saved me. And I'll do everything I can to see that he saves you. But let's get back to our text here in Matthew chapter 10. I'd like to finish the chapter today. Again, Jesus is giving charge to his 12 disciples. He called them, he gave them power, the power of the Holy Ghost to preach and to do good works. And he's telling them this and he's telling them that. But part of the gospel is suffering. Part of the gospel is disappointment and heartache and persecution. And we talked about that last week. But picking up that narrative in verse 21, and brother shall deliver up the brother to death. One brother shall betray the other one, and his brother dies for the faith. And I said that in third world countries, in closed countries, Muslim, communist, what have you, this is a common occurrence, that one member of the family will hear the gospel and decide to make Jesus Lord. And then the word gets out, and then he's betrayed. He's delivered up, King James says, and he's tortured and sometimes executed. But it goes on, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, Jesus said. You know, Christians, as they say in Mississippi, I guess, we don't smoke, we don't chew, and we don't go with the girls that do. Christians live holy lives. They don't drink, they don't carry on, they don't party, they don't cheat on their wives, they don't steal, they don't lie, they don't do all the bad things. We're good people. But as it says in John chapter 1, our light is an offense to the sinner. And they love darkness, sinners do, because their deeds are evil. Simply living for God, trying to be a good person, trying to be a good Christian, trying to obey the Bible, many times the end result is that they hate us. And I don't know how many times I've seen that people are upset simply because I'm a Christian, simply because I want to live a righteous life, and it makes them look bad, it makes them feel guilty perhaps, because they'd prefer to stay comfortable in their sin, in their lifestyle, what have you. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily or truly I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. We've said before that Matthew presents Jesus as the King coming to take account, coming to see if his servants have been faithful, and he rewards the faithful and condemns those that aren't. Matthew shows us the first coming, but there's also a second coming, the first and the second. You see, there is an end to this world. There is judgment that's soon to come. Christ will return. That's why we need to be about our Father's business. The end is coming. The judgment is almost here. And Jesus is coming back to take account. And we want as many people as we can to come in and make it to heaven. That's what evangelism is all about. That's what the ministry is all about, to win souls and then to make disciples, to rescue sinners and then show the Christians how to live. But this message is hard. This message is difficult and bitter. And most people don't want to hear it. That's a fact. But he said in verse 32 and 33, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, or to say, hey, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe what that crazy preacher on Sunday morning said. Whosoever shall confess me before men, Jesus says, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. There isn't but one way to God. There isn't but one way to heaven, and it's through Christ. And if you're ashamed of Christ, if you're ashamed of the cross, if you're ashamed of righteousness, you won't make it in. That's a hard message, but it's the truth. And in verse 34 through 36, he says, don't think that I'm come to send peace on earth. I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come, listen, this is important. For I am come to set a man at variance or at odds against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household and his own family. He that loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. Think of that. If you love your parents more than you love Jesus, you're not worthy of Christ. If you're afraid of your parents or your family, and you don't want to live the Christian life, you're afraid to tell them, hey, I want to do what the Bible says, he says, you're not worthy of me. I mean, I went to the cross for you. I hung and bled and died. And yet you're ashamed of me. You're not worthy of me. You don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve to go to heaven. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He said, if you find your life, if you figure it out, if you save your life, you protect your life, you make your life comfortable, if you find your life, you'll lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Then he says, to close out, he that receives you, or hears what you have to say, he receives me. And if he receives me, he receives the Father that sent me. Then he talks about a reward for following God. And he lists a few, but he says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of my little ones, those that follow me and love me, you give a cup of cold water to one of my little ones, only in the name of a disciple. Hey, I'm just a lowly Christian. Here, let me comfort you a little bit. Truly I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast, I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.